So we're continuing our sermon series on Dress for Success. Chip kicked it off last week. We'll be reading in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. There's a book that came out years ago, and then it was republished again. It's called Dress for Success. I don't know if any of you ever read that, but very interesting book because it talks about how what you wear affects how you think about yourself, and it affects how other people treat you. And so there's all kinds of stories in there, research this guy did, like what colors are good, what colors are bad. And that might be a good book for some of us to read, you know. Sometimes you wonder, like, whoa, okay, turn that off, you know. So he also did some research on how people are affected and how they react to you depending on what you wear. Like, he did this research where a guy wore a suit. And he went to his store, a real nice retail store, and he stood outside, and he kind of timed his entry to the front door at the exact same time that other people were coming in, and he just wanted to see how would they relate to him. And so while he was wearing this really nice suit, he'd walk up to the door at the exact same time, men and women, and most of the time, if the overwhelming majority of the time, just because he was wearing a suit, the people stepped back, let him go first. Then he went to the same store a couple weeks later, dressed up in just, you know, shabby kind of clothes, and did the exact same thing. Stood there and just kind of entered exactly at the same time they did, only their reaction was very different. Some people got mad at him, told him to wait. Very few people let him go first. And so the whole thing is, the story in the book is about, you know, what you wear affects your life. It's not just clothes you put on. It really affects how you think, how you act, how people react to you. There's an old story about Queen Victoria. She was queen of the British Empire, had a couple of daughters, and the daughters were just like girls today, and they, you know, like teenagers, and they went out shopping one day, and they saw all the new fashions, and they came running home and shouting, "Mom, Mom, we want to wear our dresses like all the girls are wearing them. We want our hair, you know, we want our hair done just like them." And they're not thinking, you know, they're talking to the queen of the British Empire. She cuts them right off, says, "Ho, ho, 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 lady." She goes, "You are daughters of the Queen of the British Empire. You don't follow the fads. You start the fashions." It's similar to us here, folks. We're talking about dressing for success. We're talking about not following what everybody else is doing. We're talking about understanding, who are we? Really, who are we? And is there such a thing as what we should be wearing? Is there spiritual garb that we should be wearing? So that's what we'll talk about here over the next couple of weeks. But let's read this morning chapter 6, the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. Paul's sort of finishing the whole letter he wrote to the church of Ephesus, starting in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." I'm going to stop right there. Last week, Chip talked about the importance of the belt of truth. Today I want to talk about the importance of the breastplate of righteousness. And then we want to talk about wearing the right kind of shoes for this battle. But before I do, I just want to back up a little bit, because there's just things in that passage that jump out at me. This passage in verse 10 where it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So we're talking about strength, but we're not talking about strength in yourself. It's understanding your strength that comes in your relationship with God. When I think about this, "be strong in the Lord," I'm thinking like, oh, he's talking about armor that we're supposed to wear. It's sort of like this. He's saying, What kind of designer label are you wearing? Now, some of you here really into designer labels. Some of you are not. You know, Armani or Gucci or Christian Dior or Burberry. You know, there's all these really nice fashion design labels. And you know, sometimes there's some really nice stuff. And yeah, I think maybe what we might want to think about here is, what kind of spiritual designer label are you wearing? Are you wearing the designer label that's got "In the Lord" on the tag? You know, companies specialize in different clothing. Like, you know, you have work clothing, Carhartt. That's, you see somebody with a Carhartt, that's good stuff, you know. Or if you're into sporting goods, Dick's or Cabela's, you know, hunting or fishing or something like that. What's the Lord's designer label look like? This is really what I like. You know what his designer label is? It's battle fatigues. Camo. It's battle fatigues. He's saying wear the right clothing as you go about your everyday life. Wear the clothing that has the designer labels that says "In the Lord." I'm reminded of a movie I think a lot of you saw years back with Jim Carrey in it called The Mask, and the impact that the mask had on him. So in the movie, you know, Stanley Ipkiss, some meek and mild banker, timid, and, you know, lets people walk all over and finds this mask, puts it on, and wow, man, he becomes awesome. Crime fighter, confident, you know, exciting, outgoing, vibrant. I mean, just, it's a crazy movie. But I think maybe there's some similarity here. You know, the Bible's talking about your average Joe, your average Mary, going through life. He says, you know, finally, when he gets to verse 10, he goes, finally, I just want to let you know something. If you're wearing the right clothes, if you're putting on the right mask, it might make you invincible. Yeah, you are putting on the armor of God, and by putting on the armor of God, you're taking into your life the power and the presence of God. That's invincible. It means you can walk alive victoriously if you're putting on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord, he's saying. Put on the armor of God. And then the next passage I just want to talk about here, just before we get into the breastplate, is the reason why. Why is this so important? Why are we talking about dress for success? Because, he says, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against your neighbor. You're not wrestling against your wife. You're not wrestling against your child. I think most of the time we think we are. And if you're wrestling and you are wrestling in the flesh, which he says you are not, you're actually wrestling in the spirit. But if you're wrestling in the flesh, you're never going to win, because there's a spiritual world going on out there. And he says we're not wrestling against the flesh. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and forces of darkness. Demons. So when you read this, just because what follows is therefore put on this armor, there's a tendency to think, well, this wrestling in the spirit world is sort of an analogy. It is not an analogy. It is fact. We are in a spiritual war. When you enter into the Christian life, you become the enemy of the devil. You're already the enemy of the devil. He hates all of humanity. And the demons that fell with him hate humanity. But he especially hates those who have made the decision to follow God. And we are wrestling against demons. So everything that happens to us doesn't mean it's demonic. But on the other hand, thinking that nothing that's happening to us is demonic is just as foolish. It is possible that some of the mental diseases that people are dealing with, that they're demonic. It's possible that some of the physical ailments that we are dealing with are demonic. But we just have this aversion to that because we don't want to go down that path. But here Paul's saying, this is a fact, folks. Like it or not, this is a fact. You are in a spiritual battle. And your life depends on it. And the life of those around you depend on it. That's your family and your friends. And also the life of those extended beyond that, the community, the lost. It depends on us being aware that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against demons and principalities and powers. And we have the power to overcome. You don't have to get weird about it. You can just claim the victory in Christ and command the demonic presence to leave. It could be anywhere from a mild temptation to destructive, compulsive behavior. In the name of Jesus, you have to leave. By the authority of God and His Word, you have to stop. You can do it. It's what Paul's saying. This is not just a story. This is real life. And he says in order to do it, we have to learn to wear all of the armor. If you'll notice, he says it twice here. He doesn't say it once. He's driving the point home, just so you don't miss this. Verse 10, or verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, not just a few pieces. And then therefore, you go down to verse 13, therefore, in case you missed it, he says it again, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not bits and pieces. You're going to war, be ready. Be ready. So Chip talked about the belt of truth. Let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate of righteousness, what would that protect if you're going to war? Your heart. Yeah, why is that? Well, because if you're hit in the heart, or if you're hit in the lungs, you're not going to survive. You can be in battle, and you can be hit in the arm, you can be hit in the leg, you can be hit in other places, and you can survive. If you get hit here, you're not going to survive. And here Paul's saying, listen, when you go to battle, make sure you have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, sometimes I think there's a bit of misunderstanding about righteousness because there's really two parts to this. Righteousness, when the Bible talks about righteousness, one part means when you realize that there is no other means where you can get to heaven, that you know none of your good works are going to gain you a right to heaven, and you are willing to repent and ask God to forgive you of your sins based on the sacrifice of Jesus. When you come to that realization, that moment, and from then on, God sees you as righteous. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away. It's done. You are cleansed of all your sins. That's righteous. But there's a second part to righteousness that I think Paul's talking about when he says the breastplate of righteousness. The second part is what's called right living. Right living. Paul's saying put on the breastplate of right living. And what he's saying is that you're protecting your heart. The Bible says when you open your life to God, when you surrender your life to God, in the book of Ezekiel and in a couple of other places, it said God will give you a new heart. A soft heart. Why is that necessary? Because as you go through life, as things happen to us, what do we tend to do? Get hard and build up defenses, protect yourself. The world's method, now think about this, the world's method of protecting the heart. What's the world's method? Hardening your heart, becoming cynical, hard-hearted. And people do that so that they may survive. But Paul's saying, no, God's people protect their heart, first of all, because it's now soft, that God has placed a new heart inside of them, a heart of compassion, a heart of understanding, a heart of mercy. It's the heart of God. But he says, you have to protect that. Right living, I'm not talking about earning righteousness. Again, do not confuse us. We're not talking about earning favor with God. I did good things, now I get to heaven. No. But we are talking about right living. A breastplate of righteousness is talking about right living. When you live right, you will protect yourself from more hurts. You protect your heart. Living right helps us make better decisions. Living right helps us forgive people. Living right helps us to want to help people. Paul's saying, put on the breastplate of right living. Wear the breastplate, man. Protect your heart. Jesus said, watch your heart. Because what's in your heart comes out, and what comes out is your life. The book of Proverbs says, guard your heart. Watch what you let in your heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Live God's way, and you'll protect your heart. You know, when I read this, I sometimes it's hard to visualize a Roman soldier. Like, you read this armor of righteousness, you know, these shoes. You go, I can't relate to that. But really, think about sports. Like, what do goalies wear in hockey? I mean, do they wear protective garments? Yeah, they wear masks and they wear breast covers, you know, and, And then you see stories of guys who didn't wear that years ago, and it's not pretty, missing their teeth, the scars on their face. When I was younger, I used to play baseball in high school, and I was a catcher, and I loved the sport, and I played all the time. We played sandlot baseball all the time. Only thing, we weren't too smart. So I know one time we were playing sandlot baseball, and we were playing fastball, and we didn't have equipment because it was over at the school. And so I decided I would be the catcher that day because I like to catch, and I'm standing behind the batter, and we're playing fastball. And I mean, I wouldn't say it was in the 90 range, but it was at least in the 80 range. 75, 80 mile an hour fastball comes in. Guy swings, tips it, and wham, right in my face. Knocked me out cold. I mean, completely unconscious. I wake up, and all the guys are standing around looking down at me like this, and they're shaking their head like that. And I'm kind of like this. Oh, man. Oh, and I'm, oh, you know, this thing's getting big. And they're going, we got to get you home, man, you know. And so we go walking home. I go walking in, and there's my mom. And she goes, wow. She goes, hold on. This is the truth now. This is my mom. She goes, hold on. She runs in the bedroom and gets a camera. Telling you the truth. She goes, here, stand against the wall. She takes a picture of me. Then she goes and gets ice, you know. She goes, this isn't your first black eye, buddy. But she says, that's a good one. She goes, that is a good one. I mean, I had a shiner. Actually, for many years, there was a little, like, a, you know, wasn't too even here. I guess it was like, man, that hurt bad, you know. But I tell you what, I learned, I never caught again fastball without a mask. You know, I know the importance of having good equipment on. But, you know, I've been a Christian going on 40-plus years, and I'm telling you, you cannot survive if you're not wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart. Saddest thing in the world is people who are thinking they're righteous and yet they're mean-spirited. They've got a hard heart. That's not possible. God's righteousness, living God's way, will never produce a mean-spirited, hard heart. Self-righteousness will. Produces all kinds of things, but we need to protect our heart. You want to keep it soft and be careful when people hurt you. Walk in God's light, walk in forgiveness, wear the breastplate of righteousness, guard your heart. The second one is the shoes of peace, where the preparation of, it goes in, having, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, you know, how important are good shoes? Anybody here ever run a 5K with junky shoes? What happens? You cry. Yeah, you have blisters. Like, you ever go hiking with a pair of junk boots that you bought at some discount store? I mean, how important are good shoes? They're, like, really important, man. You try to run a race and you don't have good shoes, you will pay a price. You try to go hiking and you don't have good shoes, you will pay a price. You will have blisters. You'll be sore. A couple years back, I bought a new pair of waders, and I don't know what happened. I was thinking wrong, but I bought the wrong size, and I got up on the river, and I was so excited. I opened the box, and it's like, oh, man, they're the wrong size. They were size too small. And too late. It was in the morning. I was 100 miles away from the store. I just put them on. I'm fishing, man. I don't care. And we walked all day. We fished all day. And, man, my feet hurt so bad. By the time I got home that night, I had blisters all over my feet. I lost two toenails because they were so pressed against the shoe, you know. But that's just, you know, when you're committed like me, you don't care. You don't cry about that stuff. But you learn. Yeah. I quickly went to the store the next day, bought the next size up, you know. You wear the wrong shoes, man, you're going to be messed up. A Roman soldier, we're talking about a soldier. Can you imagine a guy going to war wearing junk shoes? I mean, he would just, you know, like, he's not going to be able to. You know, have to have shoes that hold you firm. And he's talking about, what kind of shoes should we be wearing? He says, shoes that are called the gospel of peace. What is that, the gospel of peace? The shoes we wear are about the gospel of peace. What that means is they'll take us places because we are at peace. We're at peace with God. Therefore, we go and we bring peace. Soldiers don't, you know, this is what's different about Christian living and the analogy of a soldier. We're different. See, soldiers, when they go to war, they don't bring peace, right? I mean, they bring all kind of stuff, and they're trying to advance whatever the cause is that they're representing. We are soldiers of God. We're going to war, but what are we bringing? We're bringing peace because we have peace with God. We extend peace. When you have peace with God, you go places. you can go places. You can offer peace. You can, you know, and it's like a soldier in that we're not going to settle for anything less because we know the only way people can gain peace is through that relationship with God. And so we extend it. We move forward. We act like soldiers. You know, one last thing that just before we finish up here. When you read stuff in Scripture, I just like to stop and ask things like, gosh, you think Paul was trying to say something here? So just look back here, and you go in chapter 6, verse 10, and look at this here. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, verse 10, that you may be able to stand. That's the first time he says it. And then you go down to verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, that's the second time, and the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then in verse 14, and then stand, therefore. So four times in four verses, he says the same thing. Anybody see anything there? Is he trying to say something? Stand. Not just like stand like, you know, like this, man, maybe something happening. Stand, man. Be strong. Don't be backing up. Engage. You know, what we have is a Christian church in America that is not standing. We're not engaging. We're backing up. We talk about bringing the gospel of peace. Well, we need to understand something. We bring the gospel of peace because we know that peace comes from having a relationship with God. So when I talk about having feet that bring peace, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about, oh, I don't want any arguments. I want everybody to be good. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. No, that is not my drive. My drive is I'm here to bring peace. I'm here to bring peace, speak the truth, help people. I'm not mean-spirited, but I'm not going to bring peace by compromising and watering down the gospel and being backing up this, you know, fearful. Stand, man. Be strong. We have the armor of God. So, in summary, let's just try and summarize this, boil it right down. We'll pick up the other pieces not next Sunday because we're doing Super Bowl Sunday. And man, you do not want to miss this, all right, because it's going to be some fun stuff. But the week after, we'll cover the other parts. But here's what we're dealing with. The armor that we're talking about is all about identity. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself in a spiritual battle? If you do, then put it on. Put on that armor. Wear the Lord's label and go about it as a representative of God, a soldier of God who's determined to bring peace wherever we go. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Well, God, I thank you that you've given us the right kind of spiritual clothing to wear. And I pray, God, that we would wear that belt of truth, that we would speak truth, that we would know what truth is. God, that we would have the breastplate of righteousness protecting our hearts and the shoes that advance the army declaring peace, the helmet of salvation, God, the sword of the Spirit. God, we want to be soldiers for you. We don't want to be sitting on the sideline. We want to be standing. Just welcome your presence here, Holy Spirit. God, I just pray you stir our hearts. Awaken stuff within us, God. You know, there may be some of you here this morning, I just get this sense, you know, maybe you've, you know, maybe that breastplate has not really been worn on some days, and man, stuff got in there, got in that heart. And maybe this morning the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Come on, let it go. Forgive her. Forgive him. No more cynicism. Replace it with hope. Replace it with the light of God and mercy and grace. And I don't know, I just get a sense there might be some of you wearing wrong size shoes this morning. Haven't been advancing the gospel, been sort of tiptoeing around, but I believe God wants to put on the right size shoes for you and get you marching. So God, I just pray that you awaken us this morning. We're going to just enter into worship, God, and Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Just as we're praying, can we have the ushers up front here? We're going to take our offering and go into worship. You know, God is stirring some people's hearts here this morning. You know, when you're feeling that, that's the time to respond. With God, timing is everything. Don't listen to the voice that says maybe next week, maybe next month. God's stirring your heart about something. You need some prayer. Maybe you're dealing with an issue or some of these things we talked about or even sang this morning just touched you in your heart. That's the time to go. We're going to close with a song. We've got people on both sides. Be happy to pray with you and just be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Stay. for being here this morning. We pray that you have a blessed week and that you return here next week for service. We love you. Be blessed.